Hello and welcome back to The Last Action Critics with your hosts, Will, Uncle Willie, and the cool blue Risen, Ian Brown. Yeah. We are missing Jen, Miss Link, this week, but we will get her back soon. Mm-hmm. We have the Woman King the docket. This is episode 38, season 2. We are ready to go. We watched the Woman King.
We did.
We'll get into all of our how you been, what you've been watching, but let's get our initial feel for what we thought of the Woman King. I'll start with you, bud. What were your initial thoughts on the movie?
Fun. It was...
I don't know.
No.
I mean, yes,
it was, you know what? It was...
Feels insensitive.
I came into the film with expectations. I think the trailer was fantastic.
Yep.
And I think that the movie more or less met said expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a... So, just note, we are aware there is a controversy around this movie, and there's some people who are upset with it, and we will get to that a little later on in the show. But just in terms of pure, I go to a movie, and do I enjoy it?
Right.
Not knowing anything about, you know, the history of the Dahomey or any of that, yes, this is an enjoyable movie. There's some lag in the middle and all of that, but just from a pure, like, the power of the movie, the performances of the people, I enjoyed this movie. I had a good time. I walked out feeling good about this movie.
Indeed. I walking into it knowing none of that,
knowing
nothing about this culture, knowing nothing about
the history of this culture,
exactly. So walking into it and walking out of it not knowing that,
had a great time. Thumbs up.
You know,
if you're feeling strongly and you want to boycott it, go team. If you're not feeling that strongly about the whole thing and you come up on the other side, it is a movie that is really good. I enjoy it. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But let's just move on to what you've been watching and how you been. I've been good. I had a good week. It was nice. Mostly just very chill. Went to work, did my thing. Crystal had her big conference. It's conference season for her. So she was kind of out of the house early Monday.
Digital conference or LA conference?
And it's in LA.
Oh, okay.
They're back to in-person conferences.
Okay.
She did a bunch of like art and stuff for this conference, like in terms of like graphic design stuff and creating boards and cool stuff. So she's been kind of like working a little tail off, and you know, from the pictures, it looked really cool.
Nice.
So that was awesome. She was out of the house on Monday night. I had Monday night off, so I had a little, you know, night to myself.
You did.
Enjoyed that. Enjoyed the heck out of it.
Good.
Refreshed and ready to go Tuesday. Not much going on in my life, I'll be honest with you. I'm still muscling through this radio class, so getting that done.
Nice.
October, I should be done with that.
Ooh.
Which is on the come up.
It is.
So,
it is.
You know, stay tuned, as they say in radio.
That's what they do say.
For what's coming next.
What? Yeah.
How about you, brother?
Tired.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Particularly tired today because Vivian has been sick.
Oh.
Got herself a little cold, going around. One of them kid go arounds.
Sure.
Lots of kids not going to school. So that meant she's been home.
Are you just immune to all these little colds? Are they not big enough to get you?
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
So far, I have not got by this one.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so far I've been okay. Haven't felt ill. It's not COVID.
Yeah. I remember when Ray was having Denzel going through all these little colds. And Ray was just like, I just feel like I've been sick for like 3 years.
Yeah.
He gets it. I get it. Gene gets it. By the time we're all through it, he gets something else. I get it. Gene gets it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, we've entered that phase.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we were, thanks to the pandemic, we were okay there.
Right.
And now that she's intermingling with children.
Chills.
It begins.
Well, yeah. And also they've been in pandemic mode. So they haven't been, you know, like you're catching everything now because they haven't caught anything for so long.
Yep,
their little immune systems don't work so good.
Literally just placing them in a petri dish of sick.
Yeah. And going, just catch everything. Yeah. We're going to work through this, and then you'll have immunities, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, she's not so sick as that she can't do things. I mean, we've spent a lot of time in the house, but we've gone out the last couple of days. You know, we try to get some errands done, do some stuff here. So we went to Amoeba yesterday, took the train.
Oh.
And this is when times like this are when you learn how gross children are. Because I had to be like, please don't kiss or lick the train window. Don't touch it and then touch your mouth. Just stop it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm dealing
this
with.
This isn't the cool glass you can just put your face onto. No, in fact, not touch a damn thing.
If I could wrap you in bubble wrap on the train, that would be preferable.
Yeah.
But I've been taking care of her, which is exhausting.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say, going to amoeba, I've gone to amoeba twice in the last week, and I'm hunting for something for this show.
Oh, wow.
I've gone to a couple, like Goodwills and Out of the Closet.
Okay.
I am hunting, because I assume it's only on DVD, for a DVD copy of Roadhouse 2.
Oh.
And when I get it,
oh man,
we will watch it. Maybe we'll pitch fix it. Maybe it'll be our movie.
Maybe.
I am also looking for...
You want a DVD copy of that. Does Jillian know you're doing this?
Oh, it's going to be like $2. It's not going
to
be that much.
No, not the money. I mean, adding to the collection that I'm sure... She wants to whittle.
I've already whittled.
You've whittled? I guess the bottom three shelves are no longer.
Yeah, I've whittled.
Is that just because you've packed it in more up top?
No, I did boxes.
Oh, wow.
Boxes.
Wow.
Two or three full boxes.
This is grown up time. Yeah. You just got grown up. Yeah,
these are the ones that made the cut, and some of them, they'll still get cut.
Oh, my gosh.
Roadhouse 2, it's like a special. It's got a place in my heart now.
Got it.
And so I'm also...
You're going through what I went through maybe like 2-3 years ago.
Probably,
I got whittled. Crystal and I whittled, and we got it to like one kind of like stack shelf. You got way more than I still have.
We're going to keep whittling unless we move somewhere larger, and then the whittling can stop. So probably going to whittle. But I also am looking for, which I cannot find, is the Roadhouse soundtrack. Because I want some Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Dude.
I want some, you know, but the problem is...
I'm sure you can just go on Apple Music and get that.
No. I don't want to... No. Okay. Hard copy. Physical
got
media.
Got you.
So they have CDs of the Roadhouse soundtrack, but it's just the score. I don't want the score.
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
Well, but then
on vinyl, they have the soundtrack with all the songs. But it's like $23. I'm not paying $23 for a Roadhouse sound. I'll pay five max.
Good gracious.
So $23. And it's used.
Where do they think they can
I don't
ask
know.
That?
Why? I guess they're thinking people are really jazzed about the new
Roadhouse. I mean, you're looking all over town.
Only
for
because
it.
We've for the movie more so than the CD. But So I'll find that. I'm gonna find that movie.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's what I've been
Roadhouse
doing.
Roadhouse 2. I love it. You're on a journey.
I'm on a journey.
You're on a journey.
It's the
a
hunt.
Quest.
It's all about the hunt. Once I find it, I'm gonna be sad.
Yeah.
You know, because the hunt will be it's more about the hunt.
It's more about the hunt. It's I feel more that about way the all hunt. The time. Well, let's move on. Let's move Please. On to what we've been watching.
Yeah. Football is back.
Football is back.
Loving
it's dominating me.
Woo, I love it. Favorite time of year. Favorite time of TV here.
Oh my gosh.
Season 2 of Primal ended.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Emotions.
I'm glad you said it ended, so I'll jump back in.
Emotions.
I just don't want to get caught like having
the
to
last
wait.
The last episode. Like so a mix of emotions.
Oh.
Happy. It's such a good show. If you have not seen Primal on HBO Max, watch it.
Okay.
Sheng Wang is a comedian.
Yep.
Netflix, check him out. Ali Wong directed it. Very enjoyable. Kind of in the Mitch Hedberg world.
Yep.
But I enjoyed him. He's fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. And then I revisited some old Simpsons episodes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just for fun.
Nice.
It was delightful.
Yeah. So for me, I cooled down pretty hard on Vampire Diaries. You know, I'm putting it aside.
Did you OD?
No, I haven't totally overdosed, but like I'm definitely like,
okay,
whoo, need to take a little breather. Vampire Diaries was a little bit.
How far in are we?
Oh, I'm mid season 2. Toward the end of season 2.
Okay, I thought you were going to be farther than that. Okay. No, I mean, I guess no, 20, no. 22, yeah, 24 22, episodes, 24 hour long, or 40 minute episodes. Okay. Yeah.
It's hard to get through. But I kept up with Game of Thrones.
They're about to switch the cast up.
Thank God.
When this airs, the cast will be switched up.
I mean, just get into any kind of action. I feel like what you've done so far, I could have done in, I don't know, like a 20-minute montage. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's clip through this. You know, like, I don't need it. You use some exposition. Get it out the way. You know what I mean? Like, whatever we need to do, like, I don't need all of this.
Yeah.
Or... get us into the action and then have flashbacks to these characters as young people that kind of fill us in on why this relationship is so tenuous or what happened there. It's just like a ton of preamble going into this that I'm like, dude, what are we doing here, guys? Yeah. It's just so boring. It's just so boring right now.
There's also a level of like, so it's a 10-episode season. We're five in and they're getting rid of 10 actors or something, like, yeah, as they age up. And it's like, come on. Like, no, see, five episodes, help. That's dumb. That's, now I have to jump, what, 10, 15 years, and we have new actors, so I have to basically, like,
attach myself to these people. Yeah, cuz
they're not the same. So they're not close. It's annoying.
It's dumb.
So, and like, when we get to season 2, are they going to be new actors? Is it going to be 100 years? I just hope
they ended in season 1, you know.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. And then
I mean, just anyway, watch Lord of the Rings as well. Oh, so Lord of the Ding-a-lings. Let me tell you, buddy, this thing is just hanging on. Just, mm-hmm. We're in there. I'm doing it, but please do something. Mm-hmm. Have action. Any kind of action.
Yeah.
Let's get to the war. I don't know. Like, this is so boring.
So boring.
Watched Andor. First three episodes. Yeah,
I have not done the
Now, this is a show that builds tension, has action. You know, you get into it, you're doing it. The first three episodes, I like that they dropped the first three immediately all together, mm-hmm. because it kind of gets you through his backstory in one shot, or gets you through enough of his, like, okay, this is him before he joins the rebellion, and now at the end of this, you're like, okay, he's off to be in the rebellion.
Yeah.
So that's great. I love that they dropped all three.
It's like Game of Thrones should have dropped five episodes at once.
Game of Thrones should have just
condensed it to one.
Yeah. Two. You know, like, none of these characters are really, do we really care about? Half of them are going to be gone in three episodes, mm-hmm. three more episodes. Get all this done in the first two episodes.
Right. Right.
That's it. Yeah. We're good. I don't need it. I'm all right. So there's that. Yeah. So I would say, if you're out on GOT, I get it.
Yeah.
If you're out on Lord of the Rings, I get it. Yeah. I give Lord of the Rings just a slightly more attention, just because it's something I haven't seen in a bit, and there's some potential there.
You're also a big Lord of the Rings guy.
I'm a big Lord of the Rings guy. GOT, it's like, you know, like, I read all the books. I did the whole thing. I'm in the middle of reading the book that this is, mm-hmm. they're taking the stories from on this. buddy. So anyway,
yeah,
kudos.
Who's got
Andor has potential.
Okay.
Andor has potential. I'm enjoying what I've seen so far. It's got the girl from Morbius, his like assistant lady.
I don't remember
in it. She plays a girl named Bix. She's good friends with Cassie and Andor. Either way, potential, real potential here, and I'm enjoying it. Okay. So I think there's the same guys who did Rogue One, I believe. Are doing this as well, there's still that
through line, stylistically.
It looks good too. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right, those are about what I've been watching.
Yeah, me too.
I watched a documentary on Randy Rhoads. Have you seen this documentary? Randy Mm-mm. Rhoads was the he started Quiet Riot, although all the songs you know of Quiet Riot were after him, because the Quiet Riot, it's weird. It's a weird documentary only because he was the Ozzy Osbourne mm-hmm. quit Black Sabbath, or they fired him, however that went. He was looking for a guitarist. Mm-hmm. Quiet Riot had not made it, like, to a record label yet, so they weren't big enough. They were really popular.
They were on the up and up.
And Randy Rhoads was kind of the star of that show.
Yeah.
And then he joined Ozzy Osbourne to do his thing, And he kind of blew up, figuratively and literally on some level. And then, like, 2 years later, Quiet Riot became all the songs you know from Quiet Riot were because they joined a band and made another band. So kind of a weird documentary about a guy and who's most famously known for Quiet Riot, but didn't actually wasn't the part of the popular part of Quiet Riot. But, like, he apparently a very, very, like, skilled guitarist. The
Crazy Train is kind of his guitar wise.
That's his opus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Watch that as well.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I watch stuff, buddy. That's documentary.
You are a classy man.
I don't
man.
Just watch the pulpy stuff.
You're a classy fella.
I'm really. I got some real intellect you going do. On here, bud.
No one's denying
real
that.
Intellect.
Not me.
Yeah,
I'm not denying it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Uncle Willie is approving of that. You're welcome. Here we go. We got to talk a little controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So. The Woman King, which we watched and we will give our ratings for, mm-hmm. and we're going to do all of that kind of stuff. But The Woman King is based on a real city and people called the Dahomey.
Mm-hmm.
They were truly slave traders, out of Africa. Mm-hmm. And so they traded slaves with, I think, the Brazilian guy,
Francisco Portuguese.
De Souza.
Yeah.
They were trading with them quite a bit. They did have different issues with the tribes. The Oyo was a real tribe, and they were also had tributary rights, and so they did fight that battle and gain their rights to sell slaves without paying tribute, which I guess is a small victory, not for the slaves. So in the movie, they make this tribe out to be a tribe that is like progressive in a way that, like, oh, they're trying to get away from the slave trade, or at least the elite women warriors,
the Goji,
or at least trying to influence him and the Woman King, who is not a real character in real life necessarily. Yeah,
based on, I think, probably a couple, a composite maybe.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of steer them away from this slave trade. But yeah, I mean, they don't, you know, glorifying these people, I can see where it's problematic.
Sure.
Absolutely. I can see somebody being like, whoa, 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 whoa. These people really only stopped once the British kind of said, hey, we're cutting off the slave trade. Right. No more slave trade. Please stop. And British put enough pressure on them that they eventually stopped. And then even then tried to start it back up again, like 4 years later. That didn't go that well. Then they got in a fight with the French, and their rule was over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I can totally understand the problematic piece of glorifying this culture, this people, especially, you know, if you are an ancestor of someone who was, you know, taken from and had this, you know, generational trauma that goes along with it.
Yeah.
So I absolutely understand that. This was also a piece of fiction. So, I mean, obviously, Viola Davis is like, hey, this is fiction. We're telling a story. This is not a documentary. I think somebody else said this is not a documentary. It's supposed to be. Yeah. We're trying to have a compelling story. But, you know, like, I get the other side. I totally understand where someone would become like, whoa. Do we just watch a movie where the hero was the slave traders? Because they were semi-reforming.
But yeah.
It's based on a story about people who were just definitely not about the reform necessarily, or at least didn't act upon it if in their heart they were about it. Because so I understand the controversy, and I would totally understand if someone was like, I don't want to see this movie because of this.
Right.
Now, when I go to rate this movie, it will be about the movie itself, not about what happened in terms of that controversy.
Right.
So my ratings for this movie will be high, even though I can understand why someone would be upset about it.
Based on initial viewing, if you will, and then not knowing the history going in. I mean, I think this movie for us, but in a different way, falls under a similar banner that like RRR did, in that it's basing itself. I mean, RRR was straight out of a country and language, et cetera, but both of them are based on things that we don't know a lot about going into it. And we can certainly, we're working to educate ourselves.
Right.
But with The Woman King, again, not knowing any of the controversy until I got out of the theater and checked some reviews, it was like, oh shit, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of looking at it as a, and I don't fault anyone for not wanting to see it or, you know, having the reasons, and I get that. I think that what I look at a little bit, though, is that this is a historical fiction. This is a little bit of spinning history on its head. The tough part, of course, is when you don't already know the history, you just instantly assume that this is correct.
Right.
And that's maybe the biggest issue. Yes.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That idea that, like, somebody, a large portion of people will walk away from this movie thinking, oh, man, so, it, you know, like, this is based on a true story. So when you say it's based on a true story and then you don't tell us which parts are or aren't true, right, we get to decide what is and isn't true. And that is unfair because the narrative is, there is truth here, and the, you know, the Dahomey were not the heroes of the dissembling the slave trade. They were absolutely involved and didn't necessarily care about it. I mean, they also, from what I read in terms of the little research that I did, they also did religious ceremonies where they would sacrifice a ton of people. They would sacrifice people that they had captured and were not going to sell to slavery. They would sacrifice criminals in terms of like just mass slaughter of people for religious purposes. So you know, there's a lot of questionable things going on in this time in history as well.
Yeah.
Kind of paint that context a little bit a little bit more. But yeah. Well,
I think there's a level too where all societies at a certain point went through some questionable. I mean, the Northmen dealt with slavery. I mean, pretty much every culture at one point or another evolved past slavery, you know?
Right.
And I think this one, you know, in Africa, I don't know the level of slavery before anyone showed up, European-wise.
Right.
But certainly it became a way to make money or a way to dominate another kingdom or it became part, and I'm not justifying it.
Nope.
I'm just saying that I think understanding that and then saying, well, how do we still, you know, weave a story? We want to tell a powerful story about a black woman or a group of black women. You know, how do we do that within this context? And maybe there are other kingdoms you could have gone to do this, but right. I think the Agoge sort of provided this way in, especially after something like Black Panther, mm-hmm. where you have the women warriors in Black Panther, who I right. think the Agoge were sort of an influence on. So while there are a lot of questionable issues, there is something else that's fun, which is like, well, we have a movie about strong black women, and right. they're headlining a film. Dealing with historical inaccuracies is a problem,
right?
But on today's scale of like, well, look at that, Viola Davis is headlining an action movie, you know, opening an action movie, and
that did well,
and it's super fun, and she's great in it. Right. The cast is great. Like, it's a well made movie.
I would say, to kind of what you're alluding to, which is this movie is more about the women warriors than it is about this whole society, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, we deal with the king a little bit, and he seems a little bit like unsure of what he's supposed to do or how he's supposed to do it. And he's still, at no point in the movie is he like, no, I'm against the slave trade, you know, at any real point.
Yeah.
You know, he might be like, oh, we don't have any other way of making money. This is how we make money.
Right.
You know, like, show me something else and maybe I'll be down to get out of it. And then they go and she's like, the palm oil, we could make the palm oil and sell that. And but like, I think this movie is more about this woman who leads these female warriors and this young girl who's entering into this world of female warriors, mm-hmm. and kind of what that means and the cost of that. And then obviously, like, if you spoilers, you know, that kind of mother daughter relationship that she kind of sees and the fear that she has as a woman who was taken prisoner and raped and abused in ways that she fears for anybody to have to go through.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story, you know, that obviously it's against the background of all of this thing going on, and they certainly could have done more to kind of show a little bit more of the kind of villainy of both sides.
Right.
They make the Oyo kind of the villainous right. tribe, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is problematic. But I think more importantly, this story is about this group of women and kind of their influence and what happened and all of that. And again, I can't fault anyone for having an issue with the movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? For the things that we've talked about. I mm-hmm. cannot fault anyone. I think if that's how you feel or where it hits you, that's absolutely valid, obviously. Mm-hmm. But again, I didn't know any of that going into it.
Right.
And having gone through it and seen it, I think it is a really nice story. It certainly doesn't in any way say, hey, you know, the slave trade was okay.
Nobody's
clean in this. They don't make anybody feel good about the slave trade, mm-hmm. or like, hey, these guys are all, it was all good.
Right.
But again, you even in a story like this, you could have made John Boyega's character a little bit more of a villain.
Sure.
You know, the society a little less righteous, mm-hmm. so that it would kind of sit a little bit more correctly. And then, yes, maybe you create these characters, these female characters within it who are trying to push this narrative of no slavery due to her having gone through something and right. knowing kind of what that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
In regards to them not being fully clean, there's definitely stuff that is dealt with in this movie that we would probably love to see people care about, and then in it they don't, so when our main character, when Nawi is sent to be a woman warrior by her father, no one will marry her, Lashana Lynch's character doesn't really bat an eye. She just goes, okay, come on in, you know, which I appreciated. There's that level of like, no, these are accepted norms in this society. Right. We're not going to stand here and be like, well, don't make her marry a man. You know, just,
right.
she just goes, all right, well, come on in. And so there's a lot of that. And the first time we see the Agoge, they are getting slaves. You know, they're attacking a village.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They bring home slaves.
Yeah.
It's either, hey, you know, essentially the women, they're like, you can either leave and go and you'll be a slave, or right. you can join us. And
right. Well, they say you can go and whatever happens to you.
Right.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know. I don't know what went into the writing process. I think something like the commentary would be interesting to watch in a movie like this.
Right.
Or maybe read some more interviews with the director, the writer, we'll see what
I believe Maria Bello.
One of the stories. She came up with the story, I think.
Yeah.
It almost feels like there was a level of, and I have
two, by the way, white women.
Wrote it. Up with the story.
Wrote it.
So, it's like they watched Black Panther and were like, oh, they're based on a real, let's just make a movie about that.
Right. And yeah. maybe didn't think through like, oh, wait, if maybe we need to,
do a little more research.
Shade on the side of, of you know, like truth in some of these reportings in order to kind of like not hear, you know, make heroes of the Dahomey and what they're doing.
And again, I think the biggest reason that this the Dahomey were chosen is the Agoge. I think the Agoge a strong female.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, like I said, I read somewhere that they were not the biggest advocates of the whole slave trade thing.
Who?
The Agoge. That said, they still participated.
Yes.
They were still soldiers in an empire that did it, and they were tasked to some degree with doing it. So you can't. Anyway.
Yeah.
As a movie, as a piece of fiction, very enjoyable. Understanding the controversy behind it makes it a little almost frustrating. It's like, well, come on, couldn't we have done a little better? But I don't. I also don't want to diminish the performances and the work that went into making this movie. And the fact that, again, we do have Viola Davis leading an action movie, you know, that is opening and so.
Yeah, I can say this, like there is controversy in this. There is problems in this. At what point do we weigh those two against one another and say, well, is it more important that we're seeing stories with powerful black women in them? Or, and you get a little bit of like, you know, like a little, you know, misinformation in there, a little insensitivity in there, or do we say, hey, like, let's, you know, let's find the real stories and do those, even though they might not be as interesting or as, you know, fun in terms of like the action and all of that.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. It's a tough question.
Yeah.
And it is, and I do say it is a question. I don't have the answer to that, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend if you have seen this or want to see this, don't base the historical aspect on two white guys talking about it, but do your own research.
Yeah,
understand. Yeah.
We know who we are.
We are preeminent.
We are not.
Yeah. But if you see it, and I, you know, again, I enjoyed the film, but do I encourage you to do the research or just look into it? I think you can have both. You can enjoy the film while also understanding the historical context.
Yeah.
You know, you can say like, okay, well, this is more of a fiction than a history.
Yeah. And I think people wouldn't be nearly as upset if it was just a work of fiction. Mm-hmm. If you had just decided to say, hey, this
like
is
a fictional app,
this
like
is, this is a, I think not prefacing, not giving that information out early and saying, hey, you know what? Let's not call it the Dahomey. Mm-hmm. Let's make it a fictional city that's based on this, but it's not that.
Right.
You know, this isn't a historical fiction. It's a fiction and it's based on a tribe that had these women warriors.
Cherry picking sort of.
Cherry pick a little bit more and don't base it quite so. Because once you ground it in that reality,
You're locked in.
Yeah. And now, yes, you can say Braveheart is not historically accurate necessarily, but we all kind of think that's what happened. You know what I mean? As a result of it's in the movie and we eventually forget the inaccuracies and we start to just think about that as like the, oh, right, that's kind of a true story about a thing that happened. And then there's so much, especially in a world right now that is so inundated with misinformation, to have this come out with the misinformation that's in it, you know, and not give any understanding to, hey, by the way, just so you know, we fact-checked ourselves. These people are this. This is that. This is more about the story of these women, and we wanted to highlight that. But yes, we are not forgiving, you know, making heroes out of, you know, what was going on at that time or how that worked. Right. And I felt like they tried to do that in the movie, but I felt like with such a topic, you know, you need to do a little bit more work up front, I feel like, just to be like, hey, like, do your research. And also, like, here's some fast facts. They did not
they do did that. Not. Yeah.
You know, not without serious pressure from the British did they end the slave trade. Not to say that the British are the heroes in this story, because I'm sure they were doing it for their own nefarious reasons. The colonizers that they are probably were like, oh, we can't make money off of this.
Yeah.
How dare they?
The onus is on the artist in situations like this to understand that when it comes to historical fiction or just history in general, pop culture almost always wins out.
Absolutely.
I assume Tombstone happened exactly like the film Tombstone.
Yeah, and it did not.
You know, no.
And it most definitely things, did not.
I mean, the only probably true fictional movie I've ever seen is Prey. I think that was exactly true to form. No.
I watched a documentary on Doc Hollywood.
Doc Holliday. Very different.
Yeah, a while back. And yeah, very different.
So I think the onus is on you to some degree to either say, you can say based on, and I guess that to them a lot of times is like, well, that's our out, based on, not
right.
This is. But I think with a movie like this, you can almost end with like, well, this is not exactly the way the Dohemi would have done it. You know, this is kind of what we, I can see how somebody wanted to take that and say, let's spin it and imagine if somebody were in there and put a stop to this. And why not? Like, the, you know, this went on, blah, 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 blah. Imagine if ... movie begins.
Right. Or just, I don't even think you need to say imagine if. You can just, either in the beginning or just at the end, say this is a fictional representation of this culture, the actual culture that Dahomey were slave traders through these times. They did not end their slave trade without the blah, 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 blah. So I feel like you could have handled that better. What we wanted to focus on in this movie was this beautiful story that we've made up about these women warriors.
Right. And I think DVDs, Blu-rays are not as big a thing as they were anymore, but whoever the production company is could maybe do something like this. But I'm going to frame it in the idea of DVD. You release it on DVD, include a short documentary about the actual kingdom.
Dahomey,
And sort of say like, this is the movie we made, but you know, why not learn a little bit? And, you know, and I do think, again, I said the onus is on the artists to some degree, especially when you're taking liberties with history, understanding that there will be people who are like, that is very, very, very incorrect, and this needs to be, you know. Right. And so to say that, I think, is helpful. It makes you come off a little bit better. And you know, and like you said, with a fake culture, Wakanda being a great example of like, well, it's a fake culture, so you can always assume that they were shiny. You know, they were never, they never sullied themselves. Totally. So why not take that and do that here? But you know, these were the choices made by the filmmakers, and like I said, I'd be interested to hear what they have to say a little bit more, because they may have more of a defense against this. They may have, they may say, like, look, let us explain the reasons why we chose this questionable kingdom, and we chose these warriors and the story we told, and why it doesn't match up, and what we wanted to do. And I'd be interested to hear that, but I'm not hearing enough of that, and maybe that's the internet's fault or my fault for not looking hard enough. But when it does get released, I'll be interested to see if there's a commentary or a documentary that they attach with it, or a talk back with the cast. Anything I think would be interesting.
I mean, certainly interesting. And again, like, I want to hear perspective. I want to understand what it was about and why they made the decisions that they made. Again, this is a compelling story.
Yes.
It's a compelling and well-written story that change all the names.
Yeah,
is still a compelling and well-written story. So it's an interesting choice to ground it like that, and it's kind of a silly choice to ground it like that and not give that history and give that understanding to your audience of like what was going on. And maybe they felt like they did do that. Maybe they were not aware enough and were like, I think we've done justice. You know, like, certainly they were not glorifying the slave trade.
No.
You know what I mean?
This
movie was about fighting the slave trade. They just happened to make the people who were running the slave trade the heroes of fighting the slave trade, which is, you know, like a tough turn. It's a tough turn.
I wouldn't even say that the Agoge were completely anti. I mean, there was almost an indifference. I mean, yes, they felt it was better to, you know, do the palm oil thing than it was the slave trade, but there was a level of,
and it was more Viola Davis's character than anybody.
Exactly. She was the one sort of pushing. I don't think anybody else, I mean, and she was the fictional character within in the narrative. So I, you know, again, you can lean on that. There's a lot more dissection one can do than 20 minutes on on an action podcast.
Absolutely.
So I think the grand point, and then we'll dive into the fun part, is if you see the movie, do a little bit of research. Just understand where it comes from and separate the two, art from the artist, if you will, or the history from the fiction.
Right.
And I think you can then enjoy the fiction understanding the history. And and maybe that's what, I mean, that's not the best way to go about it, but maybe that's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the cart before the horse.
You know
what I mean? All right, let's jump into the fun part. If you haven't been with us before, this is the time where we rate the movie. We rate everything 1 through 5. 1 is the worst. 5 is just absolutely, you know, orgasmic. And we do action, acting, directing, story, and gut.
Yeah.
Gut being the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. Then we'll rate for Ray, and then we'll let your little earbuds go.
We will.
Okay, we'll let you be on your way.
Indeed.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Woman King. Her reign begins. The story of the Agoji, the all-female unit of warriors who protected the African kingdom of Dohimi in the 1800s with skills and a fierceness unlike anything the world has ever seen, and General Naniska as she trains the next generation of recruits and readies them for battle against an enemy determined to destroy their way of life. Directed
Dicey.
By Gina Prince-Bythe, starring Viola Davis, Tuso Mbedu, Lashana Lynch, Sheila Atim, John Boyega, Hero Fiennes Tiffin, Jamie Lawson, Adrian Warren, and many other talented people.
All right.
You ready for 30 now?
I am ready for 30 on the board.
I guess you've been ready.
Spoilers are coming, just so you know. Spoilers are coming.
And begin.
This is a movie about a woman who is leading a band of women warriors, and it's about her dealing with her past while seeing the next generation and shaping the next generation in how they should think. She is also, a fierce advocate of, ending the slave trade. And so this is kind of her story in a time of slaves and
time. That's it.
And tribalism. Tribal warfare. So action.
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 Here we go. Yeah. I would give this action 3.5.
Okay.
I think they did a really nice job. They had some fun with it. The training stuff was cool. All the fights looked really good. We mentioned this before. The girl with the rope and the knife on the rope.
Yeah.
Naoi. She pray.
Mm-hmm. Beat her to it.
Kind of beat her to it. I don't know if they probably hadn't seen it when they filmed it because I don't think it was out yet.
But yeah.
Do people having the same idea? Prey did it a little bit better.
They did. If I hadn't seen Prey, this would have been cool.
Yeah, both were really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take anything away from them.
Yeah.
They did a good job with that. Yeah, all the fight scenes were visceral and fun, and you were kind of in it, and you felt in it, and they did a good job keeping that melee feel going on in the attack. It didn't look too clean. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's a clean.
Yeah.
How is everything going on around them? And these two are just having this like clean little battle.
Right.
There was that sense that danger was everywhere, which is a kind of a cool thing about a lot of medieval war movies. Do that really well, where you're like, oh, we're running into a melee, and I feel like Braveheart, I mentioned earlier, did a great job with this. That kind of like, oh yeah, I'm stabbing this dude, but some other dude just walked up and chopped my leg off.
Right.
Oh no, that kind of feel of like, doesn't matter that you're better than the guy in front of you. Some dude just took a pot shot at you, and everyone's trying to do that, and your head's got to be on a swivel. And so those kind of moments were nice in this. Yeah. But yeah, action was 3.5 for me.
I agree, 3.5. I think the biggest thing for me was that a lot of the fights, like you said, it's not shiny, if you will, but I felt like I wanted a little bit more. I wanted to see a little bit more, some more of the hand-to-hand, more of the fisty, punchy, kicky. It was a good sort of overall, a lot of big battles, but I wanted to get in there and get a little dirtier, a little bit more of, and I think, maybe we've been spoiled by movies like John Wick, where you really get that choreography and you really get the raid. And I think I wanted a little bit more of that in this. And I know they're not, they're not busting out karate, but they've got their got their weapons.
You run into an issue of if you overly modernize their fighting techniques, it looks out of place.
I guess I don't need the moves per se, but that idea of going into that fight and really following one person, getting gritty for a few minutes, dragging it out a little bit.
Right.
And that said, that's a nitpick. It was a lot of fun, and there were some great action scenes, and it was definitely a good time.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Viola Davis do more action. Like, she was
great in this.
She was great.
She was great in this.
All
the women actresses in this were fantastic in the action scenes. They all did an awesome job. It was cool.
Well,
it was a lot of fun.
Floods right into acting.
That does.
I'm gonna go four.
Four for acting.
I think I'm going to go four for acting. I think I really enjoyed a lot of the performances. I think Lashana Lynch in particular was fantastic. I think I said to you when we got out, I was like, this is a star maker for her. She brought that sort of effortless cool to the character. And then what I enjoyed was towards the end, spoilers, she does get captured and she sort of needs a pep talk to get back. And I appreciated that level of like, well, there is probably past trauma in this woman's life. And she feels, she's seen slaves get put into this the specific cage. Yeah, she knows what's next.
She knows the inevitability. She feels hopeless. This and yeah. feels hopeless. And
I appreciate and
falls
that
into that
three dimensional aspect of her. Well, she yeah, wasn't
and it
just
also, and it also gave us room for the, you know, the student become the teacher, right?
Exactly.
It showed us that Nawi was ready to go, and she was unrelenting in her fight. Even when this person who seemed like they would never stop fighting has stopped, she's still doing it.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Ray, not our Ray, a different friend, Ray, different who I went Ray. To acting class with, and he posted on Facebook, and I thought it was an interesting point. He loved the movie. He enjoyed the movie, all those kinds of things. He felt like they were a little too modern in the way they acted and the kind of energy and the way they talked to each other felt a little too modern to him from an acting perspective. How do you feel about that in terms of the acting?
Right.
Because for me, I think there's a piece of me that agrees with that in terms of like, yes, I think Lashana was great. I think as an actress, I really like her. She was great in Captain Marvel. She's been really good, and she's very powerful on screen. And you know, she definitely, like, you can't take your eyes off of her in terms of like her energy and what she brings. But there was a certain sense of like
modernism
in this, and that could have been a choice. They could have been like, you know what, we don't want to delve into. I mean, you're already doing the accents, though. You know, we don't want to delve into, we don't really know how these people would have interacted. Right. And casual interaction is often probably more prevalent than we would suggest.
Yeah.
Anytime you go see a Shakespeare play, we have a tendency to think that all these people spoke in these grand prose. But in reality, you know, people just had normal conversations like you and I have. And we as modernists just think there's a linear event that happened that was like, no, we slowly became casual with one another in a weird way. And I don't know that that's always the case.
I actually,
there was no question in there.
The same. I know what you were going for, though. I recall having an issue like that with Prey, actually.
Yeah. Prey has a similar issue. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A little bit it did, but at the same time, I think because the notes that a lot of the actors took, they maintained the whole way through. Prey, it felt like it started off a bit too modern and then settled.
Okay.
Whereas this one, I think every actor found a character, found a way to approach it and carried it through. And I think that the consistency is maybe what I'll allow here. Mm-hmm. is I'll take it, you know, that consistency and that these characters all backed up their talk. I allowed it because there was a through line to it. It didn't evolve. It didn't change. This is my character. This is who I am. And I think, you know, I'm going to convey this cool warrior woman to you. And Viola also just brings the heat.
Right.
That woman can act.
I mean, paint off a wall. What was your score for acting?
Four. I know it's high.
That is high. Is high. I think there's a couple people who bring it down for me. The guy who plays the semi-love interest.
I forgot about him.
Who,
Malik.
Ooh, yeah, who looks just like he's off a romance novel cover. Like we did Lost City. He looked like Tatum's character on the book cover. Legitimately, like, just.
Oh, God, I forgot about him. All right, 3.5. I got to go down. You're right.
I mean, he's pretty bad.
He's not great. Some of his scenes are just like, what are we writing?
Yeah, what's going on here? This looks like it's straight out of Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
I go 3.5 on it as well. Viola Davis is a force.
Yes.
And, you know, like, she has moments in this movie where you're feeling it all. And there are some people in this movie who can keep up with her in that respect. But then you get those stark contrasts where you're like, some of these people are not bringing the heat.
Yeah.
But again, it was a movie about her character more than anything. Her and Nawi, her daughter, spoilers, her daughter's character.
That's a huge spoiler.
With the shark tooth in her.
Mm-hmm. Piece of shark tooth.
This is kind of an interesting little.
Yeah. Like, let's go get a shark tooth, see if we can break it.
Yeah. She just breaks off the tip of a shark tooth with her hand and then shoves it in a cut she made in her daughter that heals over.
A 10-minute newborn baby.
So that eventually one day she might be able to
identify her.
Or maybe. One day down the line. The world was not populated so heavily in that era that you might not run across somebody again.
Yeah, insurance.
Shark tooth insurance. Either way, it seemed a little contrived.
Yeah. But that scene, we'll talk about that scene in a minute. Yeah, but
anyway, the core 3.5. Core characters were all really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. John Boyega is a little understated in this movie.
Yeah.
I think he did a nice job. Mm-hmm. You could have done more with that character. And even in the even in the sense of like his kind of duplicitousness in terms of the slave trade.
Right.
And how he was managing that. It could have been interesting to watch him make that turn a little bit. And you could have avoided some of the controversy.
You could have if you put a lot more of that on him. Indeed.
Right.
Well, let's transition that into the person who helms it all.
Yes.
In directing.
Directing.
Where do you stand, sir?
Mm. Directing, I would say, is a... Ooh, am I just going 3.5 the whole way down?
You may.
I think there's a little issue with pacing in this movie. Mm. I think it got a little long in the middle there, where I was just kind of like, where are we at? What's going on? What's next? What is this movie? Is this movie an emotional movie about a woman finding her daughter and coming to grips with her own trauma? Mm-hmm. Or is this movie about women warriors that are badass?
Yeah.
I think the woman who directed this, she fell in love with two different stories, and I felt like one was the kind of emotional arc of our main character, Viola Davis, and her finding her daughter and coming to grips with her own past traumas and trying to avoid her daughter having to suffer those traumas as well. And then you have the story of these women warriors and this woman who is trying to affect change on the policies of the current kingdom of the Dahomey, seeing that they're in the slave trade and trying to kind of like push them away from the slave trade. And obviously her becoming the woman king would help her cause in doing that and in shaping this country and this thing. And we're supposed to leave with this idea that maybe this place is going to head in the right direction, right? Which, again, problematic, but it is fiction. And so we deal with that. But as far as the directing, the pacing, it lulled in the middle. Mm-hmm. I got a little like, okay, you know, like some of these scenes were really, we're falling in love with Viola Davis's acting, which I can understand completely.
Yeah.
But we're leaving these scenes going a little bit long. We got it. Viola gave it to us in the first 10 seconds of this scene, and you gave us two more minutes.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, maybe clean that up a little bit.
She didn't trust
the
performance, maybe.
Yeah. Or she fell in love with the performance and wanted to get all that good stuff in there.
I didn't mean didn't trust, like she didn't think it was good enough. Like she didn't trust that 10 seconds is all you need. You know what I mean? Not literally, but yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And again, these are nitpicks. Yep. I'm not saying it was like horribly paced. I just felt like there was moments in the movie where I was kind of going, what are we doing? Let's keep this moving a little bit. And maybe that's my own kind of like, you know, lack of attention span a little bit. Some of it might be also anticipating, you know, all out action movie and getting something a little bit more emotionally, dramatically charged.
Sure.
Which I was fine with. And I think they did a great job with. As far as the rest of it, I think she did a great job with the choreography of the fight scenes and setting all that up. I thought it was shot really nicely and looked really good. And it gave you a sense of landscape and size of kingdoms and villages and all these kinds of things. And I really liked all of that. Again, I don't know enough about the clothing or culture of that time and that area to really give a good understanding of whether that was on point or not on point. Mm-hmm. But as far as what it looked like to my eye, it looked great. You know what I mean? Like I enjoyed it visually speaking. Yeah, not
a great
looking
movie.
I don't know that it was correct or on target in that. But in terms of just it looked good, you know, the outfits looked cool and fun and I was down totally. So 3.5. Great job.
Concur. 3.5. And I just to throw out a couple of things this woman has directed before. The Old Guard.
Oh, with Theron.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine.
Yeah. Secret Life of Bees. Beyond the Lights, and then her biggest one, Love and Basketball.
Wow.
She wrote and directed that. Yeah, and she's done a lot of TV, Girlfriends, Bernie Mac Show, Ray's Chris. I mean, she's been around, but this was definitely, I mean, The Old Guard was maybe the first step towards something like this.
Yeah.
You know, an action, but I thought she did a good job of holding it all together. I agree. And you know, I don't have much to add to directing, so I'm going to just transition us right into story, which I gave a 3 because of that middle lag. I remember thinking, are they trying to do too much? And they end up pulling it together well enough at the end, but I don't need a love story.
I didn't need it.
I thought the this is my daughter story could have been maybe more effective if it wasn't her daughter. Just someone who she that feeling for, like this should be my daughter.
Is what I imagine my daughter would be.
Yeah, because very quickly you start to figure out that, okay, like in my head, I was like, oh, that's probably your daughter. You know, as soon as she tells you that story, you're like, ah, as her daughter, it almost would have been a little more enjoyable to sort of say, like, this isn't my daughter, but I'm going to treat you like my daughter. I'm going to attach myself to you as your mother.
Right.
That, to me, would have been, you know, less serendipitous, you know, right. like that. And the love story to me was just,
it didn't get me anywhere. I mean, the only real reason you throw it in there is obviously Viola Davis's character's past trauma is with, you know, being abused and raped when she was held captive. And part of her kind of holding all these people close in is she doesn't want anyone to be captured or any of those things to happen. And obviously she realizes this is her daughter, and you want some reason that compels Nawe, her daughter's character, to go out and be rebellious and see something that, you know, might be what she wants. Right. She finally sees the man that maybe she is right for and could have that love and that life with. And what does that mean? And how will she come back and do that? I just felt like it was not well executed.
Right.
Terms, I understand why you would want that kind of mirroring. Like, okay, yes, this isn't a woman who just doesn't like men.
Right.
Like, this is a woman who very much has an appetite for men and would enjoy a husband, but she wants to meet them on equal terms on some level. Yeah, exactly. So I get that. And that kind of like hinting toward, hey, modern women are going to want this thing. And this new generation is not going to just sit around and, you know, wait for you to match us up with some old, you know, dude who just wants you to cook and, you know, be silent.
Right. And then you tack on the fact that Malik is like half Dohemi, half Portuguese. It's like, oh, so he also happens to have found his lost village or his lost kingdom that he's returned to. And it's like, it was too much. It was you put too many pieces into this one character that I didn't even really like that much of. While I understand the motivations that gets Nawe to go to him, and you set a lot of stuff up, and I appreciated that he does sail off in the end. They do not stay together.
Right.
But it was
she knows her place.
Yeah, it was unnecessary in my opinion, but they tie it all together, I suppose, well enough. So and that's why I come down on 3.
Yeah, I find myself in a 3 as well.
Yeah.
Again, like, part of that is not knowing any of the history and just taking it for a fictional story.
Right.
I think I would come down a little lower.
Agreed.
If you know, when you take in the history and you say, "Hey, like, you know, some of this is a little, it just doesn't, it's insensitive."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insensitive, and it, you know, at the very least, it's an insensitive kind of glorification of a country that or of a tribe that was not a good, you know, not morally good to you know, a lot of people.
So if you want to include that, you know, I'd probably go down a full point with all that kind of stuff. So, but I'm going to stay with
this is the movie itself. Yes.
So now we go to Gut.
Go to Gut.
I settled on a 3.5.
Yeah,
I could rewatch this movie. This is
3.5 all the way for me.
It's better than average. It's got some great bits in it. It's a lot of fun. I think because of that drag in the middle, it hurts rewatch a little bit.
It does hurt rewatch a little bit.
I don't know if I need that storyline and that getting lost a little bit in the middle, but it, you know, it was fun. I do recommend it. I would probably put this on our list of essentials.
Fun. I put it in there. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I would understand if someone wants to boot it due to the controversy or due to the insensitivity that the movie has. Absolutely. I would also put this in our female action category.
Oh, absolutely.
And as far as, like, you know, one of the better female led action movies that I've seen in a long time, and go for Viola Davis. If you can't go for anything else, go for Viola Davis. She is fantastic in this. If you can't go for anything else, go for a movie that while insensitive in a lot of ways and understandably so, does push a powerful black female action lead. Go for that.
Yeah.
Support that goodness
Indeed.
That is there. And yes, we can continue to rail against the badness that is the insensitive piece of this movie. But go support this so Indeed. That when we do find the stories that are truly inspiring, they have a value to a studio that says, hey, we can sell this.
Right? Exactly.
This will be saleable.
And I feel like this has been our year of different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And this is a different perspective. You know, and I learned that this perspective is slightly flawed.
Right.
But the well-meaning behind it of what you just said is I think what I'd prefer to take away.
They did mean well, and you know, there is some problematic pieces too, like, well, I meant well. Yes. You know, that defense yeah. gets really shaky really it quick. Does. There's that piece of it as well. But yeah, I mean, and again, you and I obviously don't have all the answers.
Nope.
I would say at least for myself, I'm still on my kind of journey of understanding
yeah.
other people's perspectives, understanding where people come from.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not the authority on any of this. So I will say that, but it is an interesting question, and it's an interesting thing to look at within yeah. this. But in terms of just a movie, just flat out fun, if they had just renamed everything something else and not said it was just kind of like vaguely based on yeah. something that might have happened, I would have been all about this.
Agreed.
So
Ray Rec.
I would recommend this to Ray.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3 or 4.
Yeah, I would tell him to rent it.
Yeah, for sure. Rent it. It's worth it. It's a good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Ray would enjoy this. I don't really know that, but.
But we think so.
Yeah.
Both of us walk away with a 17. We had the same grades on this
yes.
one.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun movie. Yeah. It's really well done, really well shot. The director has a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, and Viola
is so fantastic.
Good. So good.
And so is LaShawna.
LaShawna Lynch. Yeah.
LaShawna Lynch.
She's fantastic. I mean,
great.
You know, if you feel she's too modern or not, you cannot deny her charisma.
Oh my gosh.
And she brings something that is just, I really hope she gets to headline a film soon because she's just so much fun and the possibilities that she brings are exciting.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that, and you know, I think that while Viola Davis is obviously established and she's great in this, there's a piece of me that loves that some of this could be, you know, a changing of the guard mm-hmm. in terms of like, you know, there's several, you know, women in this
absolutely.
I was like, oh, these women are like, get them in some movies. Let's do this.
Tuso Mbedu, who played Nawi, is great.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She's a great.
Yep.
And
she's so good in this. You got to sit next to Viola Davis in a couple scenes and you even hold your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do that.
This is good.
I just get caught watching Viola mm-hmm. act. You know, I'd be like, oh my so God, good. You're so good at that. Oh, yeah. Right. I'm part of the scene, aren't I? Damn it.
Yeah. It's worth a viewing at least.
Yes. Yes. Well, absolutely.
Next week.
Next week, we got next some fun week for
we
you.
We do. We got some more controversy, but fun controversy.
Fun controversy.
Fun controversy.
Yes.
Don't Worry, Darling.
Don't Worry, Darling.
The new Olivia That's Wilde right. film. Yeah. Florence Pugh and Chris. Pine, yeah. Harry Styles
in one of his first roles.
Yeah,
Olivia Wilde. I've heard he's not terribly good.
Oh,
that's just what I've heard.
All right,
There's
only one way
ensue.
To find out. Yeah, but we'll break down a little bit of that fun controversy.
Fun controversy.
Spitgate Chris Pine zoning out. And Olivia and Jason Sudeikis.
Ooh,
the Harry breakup. Styles,
the breakup. That nobody heard about.
Yeah, but I feel like we've seen this trailer so many times at this point. We've talked about it on this show. Why not?
Yes.
This is more a thriller suspense than
Somebody
anything else.
Somebody said if you like WandaVision, you'll like this movie.
Interesting. Okay.
And I thought that was, you know, like just from what I saw in the trailers, I was like, that could be, it has that kind of feel to it. And obviously, WandaVision was, you know, had that kind of Stepford Wives.
Yeah, that's the feel to it. Right to my head. I liked Booksmart, which was Olivia Wilde's first one, so I'm intrigued to see what this one does. Was this too much for her to handle as a second time director, or does she, you know, the controversy sort of I guess the controversy sort of followed them from Shia LaBeouf all the way to the end. So
was this
a rocky process, or you know, are we just hearing more and not really being told the
and a lot of the controversy I feel like came out after the filming of it.
Well,
and
people said
and
that,
kind of a he said she said
right.
kind of the Shia LaBeouf piece. Obviously, she got him out of there. She made some excuse that he refutes. I don't know the truth of it, obviously. And then, like her affection for, you know, Harry Styles on set.
Some tension with Florence.
And some tension with Florence.
Ms. Flo.
Due to some of that, I assume.
Presumably.
I feel like there was some professionalism that might have been lost in that. And maybe Florence also felt like, what's Harry doing in here? You know what I mean? Like, you brought me this guy that you're a little boy toy, and you're going to put him in this movie, but is he any good?
Is he any good? We're going to find out.
Who am I acting against?
We're going to find out. Maybe he's great.
Florence Pugh's great.
Well, she is. I do like Florence.
Yeah. And Chris Pine. He's
fine.
He's awesome.
Chris Pine is fine.
I love Chris Pine.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm okay on Chris Pine. He's fine. I'm going to stand by Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
All around.
Yep, just okay.
So, anyway, so we're going to dive into something different.
Yep. It should be fun, though.
Yeah, it should be a fun, hopefully it's a fun movie.
Yes.
You know, that's my hope, is at least we have a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly less actual controversy.
Right.
So that'll be nice.
Right. Yeah, this is real, like, In Touch magazine controversy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not,
so, you know.
Not actual understood.
Okay. All right. Well,
we should get out of here.
We should.
We should let you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's been lovely talking to you folks today.
But you know what? There's a bomb in the oven.
And I'm going to exit on the pool side.
Whose side are you on? Team Olivia or Team Florence?
Oh, I'm all Flo.
Team Chris or Team Harry? I don't know.
Oh, I'm Chris and Flo all the way.
Chris and Flo all the way.
Harry and what's the other lady's
Olivia.
Name? Yeah,
get exactly. out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm not wild on her. Know that.
Like, ooh, clever. Clever.